Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Good evening, and welcome to the Green Egg Radio Hour. I'm Ariel Montserrat.
And I'm Sylvie Salou.
And we're your hosts tonight. Before I forget, I wanted to remind everybody that you are more than welcome to call into the show. We encourage you to, and ask questions, comments, or just say hello to our guest. And our number is 718-664-6436. And our special guest tonight is singer and musician, S.J. Tucker. She says, without our songs and stories, we are nothing. And this one phrase tells you all you need to know about S.J. Tucker. Multi-instrumentalist, road warrior, front woman, songwriter, and rallying point. Yes, she is all of these things. More than anything, she is a storyteller. Named a vanguard of the myth-punk movement, and even the face of neo-tribal paganism by Witches and Pagans magazine, Tucker is the voice of lore at the campfire and the sharp laughter of modern myth. With one hand anchored in her art and the other held out to you, she is songs and stories, community and wit.
A fascinating hybrid of geography and experience, S.J., called Sooge by friends and associates, is a constant musical journey woman, born to the sticky, mean delta humidity of southeast Arkansas. She was born into a classically trained household, but her true musical curiosity began at the age of three when her grandfather brought home an LP of the Beatles, Magical Mystery Tour, and dropped the needle on her toy record player. These days, she spends most of her year on the road, performing at festivals and events with cellist Betsy Tenney and the Toronto-based Heather Dale Band, or her fairy Celtic trio, Tricky Pixie. Sorry about that.
That's a tricky name.
And has not stopped touring since 2004. When S.J. is not traveling, she lives on the site of a former summer camp, which just happens to be in the middle of an enchanted forest with two cats and a very handsome wizard.
That would be handsome wizard or lizard, I think.
That would okay. Wizard.
Wizard. Okay. With over 10 albums released to date and several more currently in the works, Tucker has received songwriting awards and has traveled the world with her music. Mm-hmm. For her, it all comes back to the fans, particularly those in the pagan community, who have lifted her up and shown her their support since the beginning. A dynamic live performer known for her willingness to follow an evocative ballad with a tune about ninjas or pirates, Tucker is never in danger of taking herself too seriously. She is silly on stage, letting it be plain that she loves her job, but she also shows grace and calm, courting and cajoling the audience from song to song.
Reviewers compare her voice to that of Joni Mitchell or Tori Amos, her guitar work to that of Emily Saylor's. Apart from writing lyrics and music, S.J. loves fire dancing with poi and hula hoop and has given fire performances across the country. She also loves to read, and she professionally narrated her first audiobook for Brilliance Audio in 2012. Catherine M. Valente's The Girl Who Fell Beneath the Fairyland and led the revels there.
Wow. Oh, welcome, Sooge. Well, it looks like Sooge is having trouble getting through.
She is not here yet.
Okay. She has not left the building yet. All right. Well, one thing I neglected to mention last week is that we have our brand new, our latest Green Egg issue out, and Sylvie has put it up on our home page. So if you were not aware of that yet, well, the good news is it's just been put up there. And so that's, do you have any other announcements, Sylvie?
No, I have nothing.
You have nothing? It sounds so sad.
For once, I'm speechless.
Well, one of the things that we might be able to talk about is recent news. And there's been a lot of rather odd news happening lately. Don, do you have any, or Sylvie, do you have anything that you want to bring up before I tell my own news stories?
Well, actually, I've not been keeping up with it due to caring for my father. I've not been on the internet like I usually am. So, I'm not well aware of what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, usually you post all kinds of, tons of stories on Facebook. Yeah. There's it seems like there's just never any end of politicians who want to say really stupid things. And so maybe that's kind of a good place to start. I like to read, get some news from Wonkette, Wonkette.com, because they deliver it with a lot of humor, and so it's a bit easier to take. They also post stories that I haven't read about elsewhere. One of the things they've been talking about a lot lately is the sequester with the Anybody there? Hello?
Just me.
Okay. Did you hear the phone ringing as well?
I did.
How strange. I don't know what's going on.
I was trying to call her.
Oh, okay. Gee, I hope she's okay. I hope nothing's happened. Because I did hear from her this afternoon, so she knows that we're supposed to be. She may have trouble getting through. It seems every once in a while somebody does.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, how about we talk about maybe spring and any spring celebrations? Sylvie, did you go to any oi milk rituals or ceremonies?
No.
You've been busy with your dad, I know.
Yeah,
and we're stuck way up here up on the mountain. And we're still waiting for spring to come. It's been like 25 degrees here, and I've never seen winter come this late at all in all the years that I've lived here. And last year we had spring showed up about a month early, but I don't see any trees in bud or anything like that, and I'm just kind of starting to wonder if we're even going to have a spring. Have you, Sylvie, you've lived here all your life. Is this that unusual?
Well, it's, back about 20, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been unusual because, winter lasted right up into April, and then we'd have a short spring and then ease on into summer. But here lately, it's winter ending, we may have a day or two of spring, and then we're just full-on summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, things have changed.
It's very weird. It's very difficult to predict, what the weather's going to be like day to day. I've never seen this much snow this late in the year. And we've been getting, we've had like 3 or 4 snows in the past 10 days or so. So weird news, as I had mentioned before. There's a panda, apparently. Well, pandas, as everybody probably knows, are becoming pretty scarce. And two big reasons, their habitat is being destroyed, and they eat bamboo, and that's pretty much it. And the other one is they don't mate real often. And so there's a panda that's at a zoo, and the zoo is playing Marvin Gaye music to get pandas in the mood. True story.
Does that work?
I don't know. I think they just started doing it, so they haven't had any results yet. But okay. As a weird note, news: a man opened up an umbrella and skydived with it.
Oh my God!
Like Mary Poppins. Okay.
And how fast was he going when he hit the ground?
I don't know, but that's an excellent question. where did he get this idea?
Stars, wow.
It is not known if he was stoned or sober at the time.
Okay,
moving right along, there was a bike stuck in the boy's anus.
What? Did you just say a bike stuck in a boy's anus?
Uh-huh.
A full size, or was this a miniature?
The boy or the bike? I don't know.
Now that you put it that way.
That's not how you're supposed to ride the bike there, Junior. you just got to wonder. I was talking to Morning Glory one time a couple years back, and she used to work in an emergency room. She said, you would not believe the things people have tried to put up various orifices. At that point, at that time, whenever that was that she worked there, there were like a third of the people showing up had, strange things stuck in weird orifices. I think I'd be too embarrassed to go to the ER if I had a bike stuck up my butt somehow,
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's also how they have Miss California, Miss Michigan, Miss America. They now have a Miss U-Porn.
Say that again.
They now have a Miss U-Porn.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. Maybe we should play one of SJ's songs now. How about we do that?
Okay.
Not so
Yes, Go Away God Boy.
Go Away God Boy?
Yep.
Oh yeah, I like that. I like that title. Go Away God Boy. Well, have we heard from our guest yet?
Nope.
Oh boy. Okay.
I wonder if she got the time mixed up.
Boy, I hope not. I mean, she had it right when she was supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago. So, and I, you know, sent her an email to remind her yesterday. It should be okay.
Would you like to address Mercury retrograde, which we're in?
Oh,
yeah.
You know, it never fails. Every time I forget to check the astrology, a Mercury retrograde starts. Yes. Sylvie, you're the one that usually knows about Mercury retrograde. You got some info for us on this one, when it started? And
oh, mercy.
It started Saturday.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I knew it started recently. I don't even remember where it ends. I'm sorry. My head is just plumb up my butt, y'all. Honestly.
It goes direct on St. Patrick's Day, which is the 17th, on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I know all kinds of weird things happen on a retrograde, though. Just communication-wise, electronics, just everything. Wacky.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm real glad we're not putting out an issue of Green Egg right now.
Yeah.
I've done that. That's not fun. Not fun at all. I was one other news item here. Fully half of Russians do not believe that it was a meteor that crashed in Russia. Some of the theories are that it was a UFO, or God, or a U.S. weapons test by locals.
God crashed.
God crashed, yes. Why he'd crash on Earth is another mystery, but oh well. I was thinking, Sylvie, that, you know, a lot of our listeners don't really know who you are. And so I could kind of interview you if you're up for that.
Well, sure.
Okay. So now, where were you born and grew up most of your life?
I was born in Gary, Indiana, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in between Florida and Tennessee, being batted back and forth just like a tennis ball.
Wow. And so now, how long have you been back in Tennessee permanently?
Let's see. Culture shock has been lasting for pretty near 30 years now.
Wow. It's been a culture shock. You're still in culture shock?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I was a Navy brat.
Mm-hmm.
So my life, you know, apart from being on the farm with my grandmother, when I was in Florida, I was around all types of people, all kinds of people from all over the world. And as you can imagine, meeting these different type of people, you know, there's always something exciting to going on and something new to learn.
Mm-hmm.
When I came back to the town that my mom and dad was born in, the most exciting thing to do was to set out on the main drag and watch the same cars go back and forth from one end of the town to the other, wasting gas, stinking up the highways, just over
and
over.
Global warming.
Yeah, this was just all anyone done, just drive from one end of town to the other.
My goodness. That's it, huh?
That's it.
Wow. Oh, we at least have tractor pulls and mud bogs and stuff here. And we got 1,400 people, I think, in our town. And they do mud bogs, you know, where you race cars and bicycles and whatever in the mud. I've never been to one, but
that happens during the fair time, you know, when the fair comes to town here.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the time, it's either you're going to some revival somewhere, or somebody's having a family reunion,
mm-hmm.
or some business is opening their doors, come out and have coffee or whatever and watch them cut a ribbon.
Yeah, we don't have too many of those. We don't have too many businesses. We've got calf dressing, and when I first heard that, you know, calf dressing, I figured they must, you know how you dress a turkey or wild game or something, you know? I figured that's what it was. And come to find out, no, it's, you put like, well, you literally dress a calf. You put bra and panties on them.
Oh, my God. I have to admit, I've never seen that.
Well, I've never seen it either, but I've heard about it. I've heard about it. The other big entertainment around here is auction. They have an auction almost every Saturday night. Horses, livestock, pigs, cows, you know, all kinds of stuff, and tack and all that that goes along with it. And we'd been here a couple of months, and I'd gotten a horse, and we went to one of these auctions, and it was a hoot. It was just so much fun. Somebody had a pig that they were putting up at auction, and the auctioneer's doing his, you know, blah, 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 you know, they talk so fast, and he stops and he asks the farmer who had put it up for auction, what's this pig's temperament like? Is she gentle? The farmer says, well, now, she's about as gentle as a dead pig. It was, you know, just things like that. It could be from California. These really colorful Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee accents, you know. And just the real earthy humor was just, we just loved it. It was just really wonderful. And totally different. I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles. And I'm actually surprised. I lived here 8 years. I'm actually surprised that I'm not, I don't get bored. There's always something to do here, you know. There's wildlife to watch. There's herbs to pick, a garden to grow. There's, you know, all of that kind of. And, of course, calf dressing.
And to calf dressing.
Yeah. Anyway, so how did you come to paganism, Sylvie?
Well, I was born into it but didn't realize it till later in life. I mean, I knew my grandmother was a witch, but this was just something that we didn't go out in public and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As we attended church, you know, as well as doing our daily rituals. And by rituals, I mean just everything that it was a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. What tradition was this? You want to? Tell people about
that. Well, a lot of people know it as Appalachian Granny Witchery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Green Witchery. Some people, different people call it different things, but when my grandpa and grandmother both were heavy on Native American tradition, on both sides, their mothers were 100% Native American. My grandfather's mother was Cherokee. And my grandmother's mother was Choctaw. So we had a mix of all kinds of magical tradition going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And you want to tell us some of the things that happened when you were growing up on your grandmother's farm? I mean, you've told me a few stories about she planted pot in between the corn rows and things like that.
Oh yeah, they were heavily into natural weed. Yeah, we'd plant corn and you know, down would go a corn seed and a pot seed, corn seed and pot seed, and you know, we'd tend to it, you know, weed it and fertilize it just like we did the corn, and we grew our own food. Carried water a lot of times. We had well water.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as hot and cold running water.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had a hot water heater. You know, we had a hand pump as well as an electric pump. I mean, we weren't completely without some of the modern amenities. We had a toilet that flushed, and you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm quoting Dolly Parton. She said, she was being interviewed, I think, on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, and I'm really dating myself, and he asked her if she had hot and cold running water, and growing up, she said, oh, yeah, we sure did. We had, we got a bucket, and we ran and got our water.
Yeah.
I find this kind of thing fascinating, probably because I grew up in a city, but I'm just constantly fascinated by traditions here in the country, you know, people who grew up vastly different from me. I had all the modern conveniences and grew up in the Hollywood Hills. And, you know, there's lots of people here that they had an outhouse when they grew up, and they had all their food. They grew all their own food. And you can always tell the people that grew up on a farm because they're far healthier than anybody else. They ate drank whole milk that was not pasteurized and didn't use pesticides on their farm. They probably couldn't have afforded any, and just worked with whatever they had on the farm. Wasn't a whole lot to do, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, we had pesticides. We just chose not to use them. That was one of the things that I really didn't like about going out in the garden was we have these big, I'm sure you've seen them. They look, they're about as big around as your pinky finger, a little bit longer, and they look like they have little eyes going all the way down the sides. They call them tobacco worms, but they will get on your tomatoes. And we would have to go out there and pull them yucky worms off, and my grandmother would hand us these little bread sacks. And we'd throw them in on top of that. She'd squash those things and throw them in the compost bin.
God. There she's back. Just a minute here. Okay, you're back.
Okay. Yeah, all of a sudden I got disconnected.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she just disappeared. It said she dropped.
Yeah, it just dropped the line. So I don't know what was the last thing that you said, Sylvie.
I was talking about nasty worms, those tobacco worms. Have you ever seen a tobacco worm?
No, uh-uh.
They're really long, but they're about as big around as your pinky finger.
Uh-huh.
They're green. They got this little horn coming off of their tail.
Oh, kind of like tomato hornworms?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, I know what those look like, yeah. Those are nasty.
Yeah. I was telling everybody that that was one of my least favorite things to do is when they would get on our tomatoes. My grandmother would say, come on, let's go get the insects off the plants. And we'd go up there, and she had us these little bread bags. And we would pull those things off and put them in the bread bags. And then she would squish them and put them in the compost pile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get too many of those. What I do get every year are those horrid little squash bugs. They get all in the squash. They eat up all the squash plants and destroy them. Then they start on everything else. And this year I'm going to get them. I'm going to put copper in the soil. That ought to do it. But those tomato hornworms are just not fun.
No.
You know, that's something else, too, is I was going to do a little roundup, kind of various seed companies that I have dealt with for years that I think are really good to order seeds from, because a lot of people are starting to garden now who didn't before. I've gardened for years, and I can say that one of my favorite seed companies is the Baker Creek Seed Company. And they're at rareseeds.com. They sell nothing but heirlooms, which means that all of their seeds are seeds that you can save from year to year. So if you buy all your seeds one year, you don't ever need to buy seeds again unless you want to buy a seed that's, you know, a new strain of something. And they have like over 1,400 different kinds of seeds for things. And I've dealt with them for several years. I've never had one single problem with them, and their seeds, they're like about a 98-99% germination rate on seeds, and I've never seen that anywhere. So that's one that I like. Sylvie, how about you?
Well, I don't have any particular one company I deal with. If it's an heirloom, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Generally, I've got it's been a long time since I've actually had to buy any seeds because everything I grow is heirloom, and, you know, I just save a few vegetables, and I've got all the seeds I want, you know, plus some to share.
Yeah, yeah. There's one, there's another one that I think that pagans should know about because, you know, so many of us grow herbs. And that one is Horizon Herbs, and they're at horizonherbs.com. And it's run by a guy named Rich O'Ketch, C-E-C-H. And he has been, I think of him as a plant shaman. He's written a number of books, and he has spent decades learning about all different herbs, what they do medicinally. And he travels all over the world every year, and he visits with, like, medicine men in Zanzibar and Madagascar and other exotic places. And he finds out unusual plants and herbs that nobody knows about except the locals, and he brings seed back. And then he'll tell you how to cultivate it and plant it, and then how to use it, what the uses are for. And he has a huge, huge selection. If you can't find it in his catalog, you probably don't need it. He also has a few plants that he calls sacred, such as ayahuasca vine, things like that. And so, what do you call that? Wild dagger. Lion's, also known as lion's mane. But anyway, those are really good seeds, too. I like buying from him. So I'm trying to think of I know that there's others. Nichols Garden, if you like to buy, if you don't care if it's hybrids or heirlooms, Nichols Garden is another one. They're up in Oregon. And they're real reliable. I've ordered from them for like 30 years. And all of these, by the way, are small family-owned businesses, which I also like. And they've been owned for a long time. Baker Creek was started by a guy who's now in his early 30s. He first started his herb business when he was 17 years old. And he really, I mean, that's his whole entire mission, is keeping heirloom seeds circulating out in the public domain. Because we're losing them. We're losing so many of them because more people use hybrid seeds now. There's a lot of people that don't even know about heirloom seeds. They don't even know what they are or never even heard of them.
Yeah.
Baker Creek leads a lot as far as fighting the Monsanto and other GMO companies.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ruthanne.
I love them. I'm totally of them. Yeah.
I love them too. They do so much that's good. They have they were huge fighters in the fight to get GM foods labeled in California, contributed tons of money. I also want to put in a plug for Dr. Bronner here because I have read that Dr. Bronner soaps, you know what we all grew up with. It's now the fourth generation owns it. It's still family owned. And they don't take a salary. Everything they make either goes back into the business or to the employees, or it goes for charitable causes. Or not even charitable, but they donated like several million dollars to help fight to get GMO foods labeled GMO. So I just wanted to give them a shout out so people know that. I think we need to be supporting these family-owned companies that make good products. They've been around a long time, and they're really great to do business with. If you have a problem, you call them, and right away they fix it. They take care of it. But, you know, their name's on the package, so they have a lot of pride about it. And Baker Creek also has a magazine called The Heirloom Gardener, and I just got my issue yesterday. They have about a 6-page article on how Monsanto got started, what they're doing, why the GM food is so bad for us. Probably, I would imagine, most people that pay any kind of attention at this point know that GM food is not good for you. but
well, there's a lot of reports of, well, I can't recall which countries right off the top of my head, but they're causing cancer, like colon cancer, and, you know, just all sorts of cancers that can take place in the core of the body. So, and it's said that things I've read about it says that it, since it produces its own pesticide, that this pesticide stays in the intestinal tract. You can't get rid of it. So you to eat a plant that produces its own pesticide is it's pretty much poisoning yourself.
And your animals, if you're feeding it to your animals.
Well, yeah. And corn is a big one, as we all know. And think of how many animals out there are being fed the corn products. You cattle, chickens, turkeys.
Yeah. I always worried about that with feeding my horse, because a lot of the stuff that you buy is genetically modified. And you've got to hunt and hunt and hunt to find, or grow your own, to find a feed that isn't. Like a lot of alfalfa, if not most or all of it at this point, is genetically modified, and that's what a lot of different livestock eat. And Monsanto's also putting the small, trying to put the small farmer out of business. That right there is enough reason to me to not want to patronize them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like their business practices. But anyway, and so anyway, that's I know that there's a few others that are. Oh, pine tree seeds is another good one, and they're good because you can get a whole lot of different stuff. They also have hybrids. Most of it's heirloom, but you can get, like, for 95 cents, you can get a small packet of seeds. And if there's only one or two people, or even three in your family, that's plenty. And so therefore, you don't have to spend, you know, $3 on a whole packet of seeds that you're not going to use, that you're only going to use a few of. And so pine tree, and you'll have to Google them. I can't think of their URL off the top of my head. But anyway, now, but I wanted to get back to you, Sylvie. Some of the practices that you used when you were growing up on the farm, you probably saved seed, I would imagine.
Yeah, I still do. That's something I've done all of my life. Seeds, roots, taking cuttings. I discovered a neat little thing called rooting hormone when I was around about 22, 23 years old. I had built a greenhouse. My aunt had built herself one years before. And I thought, well, I'd like to have one of those. And I started getting into studying horticulture and just different greenhouse management deals, you know, with your plants and as well as finances and all. But rooting hormone, if you have a plant that you don't have a lot of space inside your home but you want it for next year, that's a great thing to use and keep a little sprig going throughout the winter, so that you can just plant it next summer and just keep your plant going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What were some of the, did you use like magic when you planted your seeds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we planted by the moon. And one thing that was always stressed is you never plant anything when the sun is in the bowels, because it will rot in the ground. I don't care if it's been dry for a month, it's going to rot in the ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what I found is, like a lot of, you know, in growing up, these were called old wives' tales. And what I'm finding, is, though, is that a lot of those things have validity to them.
Yeah.
And they're really dependable. Like when I first moved here, I started learning about the signs, like how to tell if it's going to be a harsh winter. A wild persimmon, you cut those in half, and I forget exactly what it is, but, you know, if it's one shape, it's going to be a mild winter. If it's another, it's going to be a harsh winter. And then, like, woolly bears, how big is their black band? Those little woolly bears. I love those little woolly bears. The wider the black band, the harsher the winter, things like that. And they really are true. I've learned that. Now,
yeah.
Of course, with geoengineering, it's really difficult to predict any kind of weather. And
yeah, it's kind of hard with the woolly worms. For people who may not know what those are, it's a furry caterpillar. And generally, the wider the band is on it, it's a bicolored. Some of them are sort of a rusty tan with a black band. And if that black band is really wide, it's supposed to be a harsh winter. And if it's sort of on the thin side, then it's supposed to be a mild winter. But I'm finding they don't know which way to grow anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what because it used to be you could take like the preponderance, you know, you'd check like 12 woolly bears, and the majority of them would be definitely doing, you know, one thing or the other. But that's not true anymore. There's just no idea. You cannot read the signs, and in fact, that's something that people around here are talking about, is the signs don't match what's happening with the weather anymore, and because this is a farming community, that's not a good thing at all.
Yeah, around here we're experiencing, I guess what you would call Florida weather. We've got tropical weather going on.
Oh, wow.
It practically rains every day. This last year I raised a dozen tomato plants in this one little area. Now, these plants were not, generally in Tennessee, a tomato plant will grow maybe a maximum of 4 feet wide, and as tall as you can stake it. You know, they're vines. They'll just keep growing. But every one of my tomato plants grew in excess of 8 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It takes it fast. And I lost every tomato I had because they couldn't breathe. The moisture wasn't able to dry off because of how dense they were.
Wow.
And this year, I think I'm going to plant one.
Wow.
If one plant will do what that bunch of plants did last year, I'll have plenty.
Wow. Mine just got rained out and just kind of went into hibernation. I mean, it rained almost every single day for the month of August last month, which is really unusual for this area.
It is.
You know, we used to get perfect weather. It would rain maybe twice a week, and when it didn't, the rest of the time it was sunny and warm.
Yeah, but speaking of magical things to do for your garden, of course everybody knows what Wittershins and Diosol is. If you plant your garden clockwise, if you want a really positive outcome for and positive outcome for everything, you know, anything that's bothering you, going on with you in your life, put it into your gardening. You're out there, you're down on the ground, you're grounding, you know, get rid of that negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, just focus on your problems and, you know, plant it. Put it in the ground. And for every positive thing that you want to happen, you speak it to that plant. And
mm-hmm.
as that plant grows, so do those positive things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do that with your cooking, your cleaning, anything that you go to, you do. This is what I'm talking about, making it a way of life. You know, it's just two simple things. You go clockwise if you want positive, and if you want to undo sickness, you want to undo a negative situation, then go counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. That sounds like a real good way to do things. Any other magical tips for when we're putting in a garden, other than what you just talked about?
Not really. Just, you know, if you have animals and they're, of course, defecating, that's one thing that you that. In a way, that's magical. In a way, it's just nature. You know what? Natural fertilizers go a long way, or if you want to keep an earthworm bed.
We've got a question in the chat room.
Okay.
Lauren says that he tills and plants everything north to south, and he's asking, is that a good thing? I believe he is in the northern hemisphere. So,
okay.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. North to south.
Well, I think intention is important, and if you keep your intention in mind for whatever reason that you do that, it's a good way to do magic.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people may want to plant their gardens according to their tradition, you know. I'm not too familiar with just every tradition out there. It's just the way I was taught was, you know, we always plowed our fields either counterclockwise or, you know, or clockwise. The same with cutting hay or just anything with it that we done.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah, those were the two general rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there were other things that, well, doesn't have to do with a garden, though.
Well, I like what you do to the politicians, which is to make up a little poppet and hang it from a tree and sew their lips shut. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works too sometimes.
Yeah, if you got a neighbor that's giving you a problem, you can just make a little poppet and you just baptize that little poppet as your neighbor. And if you don't want any harm to come to them, this won't bring them harm, but it'll do enough to maybe shut that mouth. Is hang them off of the branch of a tree, pretty close to the trunk. And when the wind blows, it'll just beat the hell out of them.
I just have this image of this thing dangling from a tree, looking really scary and haunted and all of that, and the neighbor's just completely freaking out and not knowing what the hell you're up to.
I mean, you hang a gingerbread cookie out there. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, I see Congress hanging on the tree. You know, that's quite a few poppets, but
yeah,
that'd be beautiful.
Yes, it would.
Well, those five politicians, congressmen, I think they all were, that were running for election in November, that had, I don't know what fairy tale they got their quote information about rape from, but you know, all of those five that were making stupid statements. Sylvie, didn't you make a poppet for all of them, and they didn't get elected?
Well, no, it wasn't necessarily them. It was when all of the GOP were, how they were having their debates, and it was coming down to who was going to be running against Obama. And what I did was I put a quartz crystal through each one of their mouths. I had printed out pictures, and I put a quartz crystal through each one of their mouths, and spoke to them and said, let the truth fall from your mouth continuously. Say what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I just left it there, and as each one fell out of the race, I did away with the image and put my crystal back out to charge, you know.
How to deal with unwanted neighbors. I need to have you come over here and do some magic, I think, because we get some hellacious neighbors on either side of us. Like, you know, just no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And the kind of magic that you learned, I know that you learned it from your grandmother. And was this just stuff that was passed on down through the generations? Where did it originally start? Do you know?
Oh, Mercy, I've been researching that. The origins of all of it come from different places. Some of it started in Ireland, some in Scotland. There was some in England, of course, with the Native American tribes. There was some that came through slaves when they were brought to this country, and it's just a mishmash of everything.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it had that many different influences in it.
It does. And the further north you go, you've got the Germanic working.
Right. It's
the Quakers, I believe, or what they're called.
Yeah, they're
Amish, maybe.
Not Amish. The German magic practiced in Pennsylvania
Mennonite.
Called powwow, and it came from Germany with the German immigrants when they came over. There's a lot of Germans, obviously, in Pennsylvania. And that's what I've read. And there's a couple of authorities on this, and I'm trying to get somebody on the show to talk about it because it is an official, magic. And it's called powwow. And they do a lot of those. If you've ever been to Pennsylvania, on the sides of barns, you'll see hexagrams or, different things like that, little designs. That's powwow magic. They're making sigils.
Yes, and not only that, if you look at even here in the southern Appalachians, even over there where you're at, I noticed one of those patterns down in town. But if you look at a lot of the quilting patterns that women have used throughout the generations, you see that same thing in the quilt patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we do have a lot of that around here, too. It's amazing to me how, because, people here are so anti-magic and anti-witch, but a lot of them practice traditional, magic. I mean, it's... It is a tradition, but they just call it by something else.
Well, even in this area, people that are still going to church, and I'm talking about these holiness churches and things,
mm-hmm.
they attach a lot of scripture to magical practices that they are performing within their churches, and they're not even aware of what they're doing.
I know. It's kind of weird to me. I have a hard time.
I find it kind of dangerous. Because,
dangerous how?
It's like Miss Dorothy Morrison said. Magic needs a driver.
Yeah.
You don't throw this out there and let the vehicle go where it will.
Really? Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's not a good practice. Yeah. But now it sounds like the Appalachian granny magic that you practice has ways of dealing with people that do you wrong. A lot of protection stuff and the poppets where you have the sew the mouth closed and like that.
Yeah. I'm one of my favorites. A lot of people in voodoo know the trick that you can do with the cow's tongue, but my grandmother would use any type of tongue. We, of course, killed our own animals and put them in the freezer, to have meat to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And she would save these tongues. And as you probably know in your area and people who live in Tennessee generally know that this is a gossiping state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can use any type of a tongue, and you can close somebody's mouth. You just twist that little tongue. You can... pin it down to a piece of styrofoam and then twist it and pin the other end down. Let it dry like that. Hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such and such as tongue. So, if they want to start out lying, you twist that thing around, they have no choice but to tell the truth.
I love it. I love that. So those of you at home wondering what we do on our long winter evenings here in Tennessee, well, we're getting back at the neighbors.
I generally don't have a lot of problem with anyone gossiping. I just don't.
No, but well, you got all those cow's tongues in your freezers, right?
Well, no, I don't know.
Our guest is here now that the show is over.
She's
here.
Well.
Oh my.
It sounds like somehow there was a mix-up in the time thing, huh?
That's what I thought might have happened.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're just getting ready to sign off, and We're going to have to go. But welcome to the show, SJ.
Okay, hi.
Oh. Sorry.
Well, you know, talking about Mercury retrograde, which started last Saturday, need I say more? Well, we're going to have to book you again to get you on the show.
Oh, good grief. Oh, I am so sorry. Well,
oh, honey,
hello,
it happened.
Hello, goodbye.
Oh, well. So
we'll keep trying until we get it right. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. So next week, our show is going to be, we're going to have Dr. Todd Bernstein on the show. And he is starting Pagan TV, brand new project. He's already gotten, he's already booked on PBS for some Pagan shows. And so he's going to be telling us about that project and how to tune into the show. And he's on Facebook. Just look for Pagan Living TV. And you can find out more about him there. So that's our guest for next week. And that's our show for tonight. That's it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Tom and Aubrey, wherever you are.